We heard calls on the show yesterday for an immediate reopening of hairdressers and beauty salons, but in his calls to do so, Sligo Councillor Paul Taylor said it was clear that there were lots of hairdressing activities taking place under the radar despite the COVID restrictions in place, the so-called black market.
You know, it's probably no secret that people are availing of these services under the radar, and hairdressers calling to houses and barbers, and I'm not saying that that's happening everywhere, but it's certainly happening, and I feel that's probably unsafe.
Yeah, unsafe, and his point was it is safer just to reopen the hairdressers considering this activity which is going on. Marion Dineen is on line one. Marion of Marion Dineen Hair Studio in Sligo. Marion, good morning. Thanks for taking our call this morning. Is Paul Taylor right or not? Is it widespread?
Yeah, it is widespread. You know, it is very widespread, and I'm delighted to get this opportunity this morning, you know, to talk about it. Like, we in our industry as salon owners, we have discussed this and we have talked about it. You know, it's out of our control now. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, I know the government and revenue, and they're all looking into it, but we can't do anything about it. And I suppose the longer it goes on, the harder it is going to be for us as business owners, because, you know, we want to get back to work. We're in a safe environment. We have everything done according to the guidelines. You know, I'm worried about the girls. Would we have work for them? You know, would we be able to continue looking after our clients? You know, then you have the dream kids growing up and they want to do hairdressing. You know, I hope that we will have a place for those girls. It costs a lot of money for us to put them through college and to put them through all the, you know, the protocol and all that we have to do. And, you know, will we have jobs for those girls? I hope we'll have jobs for those girls, but I don't know. And the longer we stay closed, the harder it is for us to come back to work. I don't think it's fair to the industry, you know, but it's out of my control. We can't do anything about it. You know, those people are getting the payment, they're getting whatever they're getting. And, like, how do you come back from that? Like, our salons are done the way they're supposed to be done with the PPE. We have done it very, very professional. Our salons are a safe environment to go back to work. I know the numbers are very high and I know it's very difficult because, you know, we have to try and get down the numbers. But, like, we just need to get back into where we are feel comfortable. Like, those women need their hair done. There's women that has never been out of their home since last March. You know, it's not safe, as far as I'm concerned, to be going into people's houses.
Yeah, well, that's the other aspect of it. Well, just to pick up on one thing, and this suggestion came in from a number of listeners yesterday. Paul Taylor was talking about it being a low-risk environment, and you feel the same thing as well. People were suggesting yesterday that hairdressers are a high-risk environment because there's lots of water and hair dryers, humidity and so forth. Well, is that the case?
Yeah, well, we have everything put in place for people to come into our salons. We have everything done. Like, it couldn't be in a cleaner place than a hairdressing salon. You know, we don't know what's in people's houses. Like, as you know, I do wigs for cancer patients. The toughest thing for me was I couldn't go to those people. I couldn't look after those people that are sick. You know, I couldn't go to their houses. I was doing it on Zoom call. I was doing it on WhatsApp, which I never done stuff like that before, and I've learned about it. But I suppose in my training, I've been lucky that I was able to do it by looking at a person, by getting a photograph. I couldn't even fit it for them. I couldn't shave their hair off. And for them, it was horrific. And for me, it was terrible that I couldn't look after those clients. And then you have those people going into people's houses,
yeah,
and they're able to do it. Like, I had a lady, I wanted to do her wig. I wanted to shave off her hair. I couldn't go in and shave it off. She said, it's okay, I'll get my hairdresser to do it. That was very unfair because I felt my job wasn't finished.
Well, just to pick up on that, because you, as we know, amongst the many services you provide, you provide wigs for cancer patients, isn't that right?
Yeah.
The argument you would make, and a lot of people would agree, is that that is an essential service.
It is. And at the time, I was told it wasn't essential services. And it's only in the last, I'd say, 4 to 6 weeks that I'm allowed to do this in my salon. I had to fight to get to do that. It's not fair. And then you have the girls then, they can go into anyone's house, they can do their hair. I know women are desperate. I know women, it's their crown and glory. I know they want their hair done. We all want our hair done. I'd love to look after my clients. I'd love to go to their houses. I miss them so much. I have a great team of girls that would love. They ring me, when are we going back to work, Mar? You know, I go in at 7 o'clock in the morning. I can't wait to get back to work. Why aren't we let back to work?
Right, okay. For a number of reasons, not least for those reasons. But as you say, and as Paul Taylor alluded to yesterday, it would, from a safety point of view, it would be safer if the hairdressers reopened it than what is happening.
It's a safer environment in our salons. Like, we have everything put into place. It cost us a lot of money to put those in place. You know, like, I know the numbers are high and people need to do what they're supposed to do because we want to get back to work. Will we have a place afterwards? What kind of a place are we going to have? I don't know. Even if we got a roadmap that would say to you, okay, we're going to be back the end of June, the end of May, whenever. We can't just pick up and go back. We have to take our appointments. My phone is hopping. Mara, when can we go back to work? When can you take my appointment? I can't take appointments because I don't know when we're going back to work. You know, I know it's good and it's looking good because the schools are back to work, construction is back to work. You know, it's great that that has happened. Like when I think of speaking to you last March,
yeah,
I can't believe like that we're at this stage. I know there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I know things are looking better than what they were. But what will our businesses be like at the end of this?
Well, as you say, it's hard to believe it was March of last year we were talking to you and you were quite emotional then, Marion, in relation to closure and what you had to do and the effect it had on your employees.
Yeah, I was off my head because I thought, will I ever get back to work? Will I have a salon at the end of this? I'm 40 years a hairdresser. I love my job. I love where I work. I have a lovely environment. I have lovely clients. I have good quality stuff. I have everything in place for those people. And I just can't wait to see those people. Some of those women is ringing me. They haven't been out of their home since last March. And then people going in doing their hair. It's not a safe environment. I'm not allowed to do it. So why are they allowed to do it? Why are they getting away with it? It's wrong.
Okay.
And like when I think, especially when you're doing cancer patients, I couldn't go near those. I had to protect myself. I had to protect them. Now they're saying that they may open our salons, you know, and that you can have the people in that gets the vaccine. That's not going to work. That's going to be a disaster. Because we won't have got the vaccines.